It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
Welcome to the weekend. I'm Jim Stevens, the president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho, and I invite keynote Sandler trainers each week from all around the world to discuss different components of the world-renowned and highly successful Sandler training system. I'm delighted to have with me my friend Scott Bailey, who's a 20-plus year veteran. He's from Southern California. Scott, welcome to the show.
Jim, I am so glad to be here. We've done this before, and I had a ball, so thanks for inviting me back.
Scott has given me some great insights over the years that have been very helpful. And one of the things we talk about, Scott mentioned the most elegant tool we have is this upfront contract. And the biggest obstacle most of us have to get past is our own belief system. In Sandler, we call it head trash. So with that, Scott, take it away.
Well, if you were to Google head trash 25 years ago, my picture might come up. But we didn't have Google let's just say if you were to look in the dictionary, I'd just be a picture of me. I was not someone cut out for sales. I'm an introvert like David Sandler was. And there's a lot of myths about that, a lot of head trash about that, isn't there, Jim? You have to be a high extrovert to be a salesperson. That's just not true. Well, all the extroverts when I was growing up were out slapping each other on the back. I was listening and watching and asking questions and doing things that introverts did and processing things just differently. Originally wanted to be an eye doctor, got a degree in biology just to try to make some money. I just thought I'd take that. I think my grandmother, she says, well, what do you want to do with your life now that you're graduating college? And I said, I want to try sales for a while. And I thought she was going to have a heart attack and maybe disown me. So maybe that was the negative reverse that pushed me over the line. I'm going to show Grandma that I'd be good in sales, and went to work straight into the medical industry as a distributor, and then went to a manufacturer of diagnostic instruments, selling through a distributor network for 3 or 4 years, and then spent 13 years with a kidney dialysis company, and I became very successful at that. But it was through a lot of hard work that got me to be salesperson of the year in 1992. And I'm not the kind of person who really liked the limelight. You know, being an introvert, you kind of shrink from that, and I was comfortable being in the top three. And now that I was the number one salesperson, I had this thing on my back that looked like a target. You know, everybody wanted to know how I got there, and the only thing I could tell them was, you know, I just worked hard. And that's true, but I think that, and I was age 42 at that time, and certainly wasn't going to go back to be an eye doctor. And then when it hit me like a ton of bricks that I was a career salesperson, I could see the finish line, but I knew I couldn't continue at the pace that I was, stay number one, doing the same things I have doing over and over again. It got me only so far. It wouldn't take me any further because I was exhausted. Had heard about Sandler. It was known as the best-kept secret in sales training, and I was always a student of sales. I would be the one listening to Zig Ziglar. I'd have my Selling Power magazine, but it wasn't a system. I would also model myself after other salespeople that I believed and perceived were successful, so it was a piecemeal system. It got me to be number one, and I remember going up to my room after the awards banquet, scratching my head and go, what am I going to do now? I mean, I've got to find a way out. I felt like a fraud. I never planned on being a career salesperson, but there I was. So out there in the ether was this thing called the Sandler Selling System, and I found myself sitting in front of a Sandler coach, and I was inquiring about his program called President's Club. I've heard about it, and I asked him the typical questions that I'm sure you get and I get now as a Sandler trainer. How long does the program take? What does it cost? Those kinds of typical questions.
Right.
And I didn't know it at the time, but he reversed me. He said, well, Scott, I'm confused. Why do you want to work this hard? Sandler's expensive, and it's time-consuming. You could coach. You're okay. You don't need this. This is a lot of work. And I said, well, I do think I need it, right? So I started selling him. I didn't see it at the time. And I said, I'm good, but I could be a lot better. And before I knew it, he had me up in his office on the whiteboard, and we'd sketched out a process where I actually was as good as I was. I was leaving in excess of $80,000 on the table of sales I hadn't closed. So I had $80,000 worth of pain. So that was roughly a third of what I was bringing in as a commissioned salesperson. And all of a sudden, I'm writing them a check, and I'm in the program. Everybody gets in Sandler for different reasons. They all want to sell more and sell easily. But in the medical arena, I was selling a product that people needed and wanted, and it was primarily an issue of taking the business away from my competitor. And it was generally considered that when you take the business away from a competitor, they're going to come back with their guns blazing in the 11th hour and offer a better deal. And that was exactly what was happening to me. That was the $80,000 plus that I was leaving on the table. When I would get a contract signed, I'd only get a voicemail the next day, you know, in the middle of the night saying, Scott. This is Dr. Jones from XYZ Dialysis Clinic. We're really sorry to tell you this. We appreciate all the hard work you've been doing, the 4 months it took to get us to do this, but we've decided to go back to the incumbent. And, of course, I would go to call, and, you know, they wouldn't return my call. And it was generally considered just the way it was. Right. There was no way out of it. Got to sell three to keep two, roughly one-third. It was considered an industry issue.
Right.
And when I was explaining this to a Sandler trainer, he said, well, what kind of a post-sell are you using? I went, post-sell? What are you talking about, a post-sell? You mean actually offer the buyer a chance to back out and do that? Well, it was such a unique idea to me that I took to it immediately because that was my pain. But in all candor, because that solved my pain, I really was not comfortable with the rest of the system. So those that are listening know the post-sell is just the last step of the system.
Right.
And my message is that you don't have to be perfect at it. You don't have to use all of it to get an enormous benefit from it. And I think we see that with our clients. They want to get ready to get ready, you know, Jim. People up in Idaho behave like that, too. they want to study the system, and I'll ask somebody, did you try it? Well, I haven't had time to try it. You haven't talked to a prospect? Did you use it at home on your wife or your kids? We always give them examples of how to use Sandler in non-selling situations. Or call those prospects that dropped off that were really no's. This is where you practice and get your confidence and build your sales muscle. So I know all the things that I felt back then weren't true, but it was a feeling, and I think the psychological term was transference. Like if I used the upfront contract, I'd make you, my prospect, uncomfortable when the real person being uncomfortable was actually me, because it meant I had to change my process, and change always makes us uncomfortable. So I tended to discount the rest of the system. I saw what Sandler did for me. The company ran afoul of the FDA, and there was reason to leave, and I took what I'd learned at Sandler as a medical sales rep and bought a franchise in 1994. I'm actually one of the few remaining franchisees that actually met David Sandler back in those days. He attended our conferences and actually was in the room when I decided with our now CEO, Dave Matson, to go back to his day and a half discovery. I actually met David Sandler and saw him three or four other times subsequently to that. So when I got into the business, I couldn't just be a one-trick pony. I couldn't just be, you know, the post-sale guy. There was way more to the system. The system was a lot richer and deeper than just that one technique. That's just a technique.
Right.
Having to teach the system, I brought a lot of baggage in with me. Specifically things like the upfront contract doesn't work. Because I never used it. Now I'm the trainer, and of course you have to use it. Anybody who's been in the business, you can't sell Sandler training using somebody else's sales process. You have to walk the walk. I had to learn to do that. And then in the early days, you know, my clients would come in and give me reasons why the upfront contract didn't work. And I think I bought into some of that. So it took me a long time to get that baggage out of my head. And I came up with a lot of ideas on why indeed it does work.
If you're looking for a reason for something to not work, you can generally find it.
That's great. I'm going to write that down, Jim. That's my little takeaway. Thank you. I'm going to use that. This is the great thing about our business, is we always learn something.
You're always learning something.
Right?
I really appreciate your time. Tell our listeners how they might reach out to you in case somebody would like to give you a call.
Well, I have one of those old-fashioned 800 numbers. It's 800-4-BAILEY, B-A-I-L-E-Y, 800-4-BAILEY, or scott.bailey@sandler.com. Love to continue to talk. Yeah, anytime. If you're from Southern California, we'd love to invite you to a free training session.
Awesome. Next up, we'll go behind the business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local and regional businesses. This is Jim Stevens, Sandler trainer here in Boise, Idaho. If you'd like to hear more, visit our website at crossroads.sandler.com and listen to our show, or reach out to me at 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275, and we'll show you the way. And welcome to Behind the Business. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. This segment of our program, we get to hear the story and meet the people behind local businesses. My guest today is Mike Howard. He's the owner of Grade Power Learning, which is a local tutoring company. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you, Jim.
So do you call it tutoring, or you call it?
We call it interactive coaching.
Interactive coaching.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, the thing that strikes me about that is there are some kids that are just hardwired to be hungry for knowledge, and some kids that are hardwired to be lackadaisical towards it. And in my experience, it's really not about hardwiring as much as programming. And I think if you have a child who you want to be a lifelong learner, part of our job as parents is to stimulate that desire. In my personal experience, I had in high school, I had a medical problem that precluded me from being in school for like 6 months. And I had private tutoring, and it really made me, from before, I was really not much of a student. But after that, it really transformed my hunger for learning. So share with our audience, what are some of the things that parent would look for to determine that they might need or benefit from grade power learning?
Yeah, a lot of parents come to us, you know, there's some homework struggles that, you know, they're just putting work off to the last minute. Forget it, you know, maybe they're forgetting assignments, missing assignments. You know, these are students that are, they're great students, but they're just a little disorganized. They don't know how to organize their priorities.
And so one of the symptoms for a parent would be, if you find yourself nagging, you might need somebody as a coach to come from the outside and help your child.
That's correct.
And I think if you do find yourself nagging, there's a good chance that you don't know how to help them.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I think that is so often the people don't invest in something because they don't realize A, it's there, or B, that they need it. So share the story of grade power learning.
Yeah, grade power learning, they take a different approach to learning. It's called the cognitive type of learning. What that is basically teaching kids to learn how to learn. It's not just getting the A's this year, you know, it's not a band-aid solution, really. It's a long-term solution. And when kids feel like they can learn, their confidence in themselves just goes up.
So your coaches meeting one-on-one, how often a week or how long do they meet?
We do hour sessions. Typically, the minimum is an hour session, two times a week. We do up to 2 hours if that's what the parents need. We also can do some homework support, which is an hour and a half session. So what we're focusing on the first hour is just giving them some tools, some strategies. There's remedial issues that we need to work on. Just whatever they really feel like they need to work on, we'll work on that first hour. And then the next half hour is homework support. And we just dive in and show them the strategies that we're using, how you translate those back into school.
So you're really igniting in the child the desire to change.
That's right. Intrinsic is huge.
Yeah. And how much of it involves helping train the parent?
You know, the parent reaches out to us and says, how do we do this? You know, and it's not just that we give them tools to use at home, but it's also giving these students atmosphere to come into where it's more of a personalized, individualized program. Get them away from school, get them away from home, get them into a different environment, and it seems to work really well.
Awesome, awesome. Give your contact information, Mike, in case somebody would like to reach out to you.
Yeah, my contact information, our website is gradepowermeridian.com, and you can contact us 208-608-5061.
We'll be back with more of Mike in the next segment of Behind the Business, but now let's go to the Sandler Training Hour. For you, what do you have to do to say, okay, I'm going to make the phone call?
Well, I remember even putting off my phone call to you, and you said, hey, I didn't hear from you. And I said, yeah, I know, but we're talking now. Can we go for it right now? I mean, it really was, I had to, and you didn't give up on me, which is another great piece of this whole puzzle. You, again, provided that spot for me, and when you saw me say, well, I'm afraid to call you, and I probably won't again if you let me think about it some more, you took that and said, well, why don't we sit down and have dinner tonight and talk about it? We were at a conference, but I think that again, that nurturing place, you're that home base, and you emulate that even in your prospecting with me. That's the same thing that I got as you, when, as my mentor and coach in this business. And so the fact that you were inviting me in was good, but the fact that you invited me a second time and were nurturing when you knew that I broke the first contract was amazing. Uh-huh. And said, oh, what do you know?
Right.
I can be an idiot in front of Jim, and he's going to be okay with it.
And welcome back. I'm Jim Stevens, the local president and CEO of Sandler Training for Idaho. I invite a keynote speaker each week from all around the world to visit and discuss different components of the world-renowned Sandler selling system. My guest today is Scott Bailey. Scott is from Southern California, been to his fabulous training center down there. Scott, we've been talking about head trash and how if I'm looking for doubt, I'm always going to find it. When I find myself resisting learning or resisting accepting something that I think might be in my best interest, I got to do something to take out the trash. What suggestions do you have to help people take out that head trash?
Well, the first part, Jim, and it's a great question, is the awareness part. You've got to be aware of it. When I started the business, I identified 7 things that I was concerned with. One was getting to the decision maker. teacher. I was raised in a family that was very aligned with Southern values, and the message was children should be seen and not heard, or children should not bother important people. And I think as a salesperson, I felt like a child. If you follow our transactional analysis model, I was in an adaptive child mode when I'd be on a sales call. Of course, the prospect would always be in a critical parent mode about this stuff. So I would basically spend a lot of time in the lobby dealing with people that were easy to talk to because I was afraid of getting to the important person because they'd bite my head off. My parents came from the Depression, as many of our parents did, or grandparents, and there's a lot of beliefs about money, and that was a big one for me. I hated to talk about money. I still do, but I've learned that, you know, if you don't bring it up as a salesperson, the prospect will. And when the prospect brings up money, it's always in a negative way. They use it as like a weapon. Right. I don't care what your product costs. After your demonstration about your sales process, which was mine, I was good at making the demonstration or presentation. And then, of course, the prospect's supposed to say, how does it cost? Which I was hoping they wouldn't ask me. And no matter what I said, I could have said a nickel. They would always say it's too much.
Right.
Which would cost me to have to handle the objection. And of course, the Sandler philosophy is to get out ahead of that stuff. I have a client right now who sells a very expensive health product, which is not covered by insurance. It helps people with severe diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. It's a cutting-edge, disruptive medical cellular therapy. And they're having to deal with all this stuff. It's like it's not covered by insurance. And we're telling the prospects up front, and these are some very sick patients, that it's expensive and it's not covered by insurance. Do you still want to have the conversation? So it's working very positively. So get out ahead of that stuff. If there's an elephant in the room, Sandler believes that we acknowledge the elephant and we turn the elephant into a mouse, right? So I think a lot of it has to do with money. Don't bother people. I think it's how we view sales in general. That's head trash. We see it as a profession that is kind of down there with something really bad, like, well, I didn't want to say it, but something nobody likes. And I don't think anybody, and very rarely as a little kid, decides that they want to be a salesperson. It becomes a default career. I network with a lot of professional people, and attorneys will turn their nose up and say, I'm not a salesperson. I said, so you've never sold a jury, right? You've never been on a date? And then, well, I guess I have, but that's not really selling. It's considered a profession that is beneath everything else. I don't happen to believe that. I got into it because I felt that, number one, I wanted to make a lot of money. That was for sure, and sales gives you a place to do that. Number two, I wanted to be on my own time. I didn't want to have to follow a clock, and I think salespeople who are effective can, you know, they need to go take a day and go to the dentist or whatever. You don't have to make an excuse and call in sick. And I like being an expert in something, and with the three things in mind, I pursued a career in sales with my head high, but really didn't have a clue what I was doing. Just started talking to people and started modeling. Sandler came way late in my career as a trainer, and I work with people of all ages. We have people still coming to training who are in their 60s, and we have some people out in training right now who are in their early 20s. Right. Do you know what this is going to do for you over your lifetime?
All right.
It's going to make you a millionaire many times over. We see it, don't we?
We do. I got involved in Sandler when I was 42. That was when I bought the franchise.
Me too. That was my age. That was my age.
And it was like, wow, if I'd have heard of this 20 years earlier, I wouldn't have had to buy the franchise. I'd have been retired.
No, we'd all do some of that stuff differently.
So we're talking about head trash, and I think one of the biggest challenges, Scott, is that if you don't have self-awareness, how do you get it? Hey, if I don't have self-awareness, how am I going to know? So what suggestions do you give to people to develop that self-awareness?
Well, if I could give another really big example, I don't know, it's not really in the head trash bucket if you think of it typically, but it might be. Is that I didn't realize I had a fear of public speaking when I bought my franchise. I had no idea because as a salesperson, that was mostly one-on-one. I did very little group presentations. When I did, it was focused on one of those acetate things that you'd throw up there, you know, a film or something like that. And when I started training, I was horrible. I was really horrible. And I was aware of it, but I was so committed to remake myself that it took me a year of Toastmasters to break this fear that I had of public speaking. So, I mean, that's a great example of if you're not uncomfortable in some area of your life, you're not growing, right? You have to transform yourself. Of course, at Sandler, we work holistically with the individual. It's not just learning a tricky technique or a tactic. It's the attitude. It's how you're feeling and your beliefs about yourself, your behaviors, what you're doing, and the techniques
how you're doing. I run with a lot of other quote-unquote sales trainers, and all they talk about is scripts. Oh, bring me in. I'm going to teach your people the scripts. That's not training a person. We transform people. We don't train them, right? And transformation doesn't happen at a two-day boot camp or a guy coming in and spending 3 hours and role-playing with you. That's not transformational. I'm a big believer in the Sandler rules. When our clients come to our two-day boot camps, I really focus on those elements. Like, on your way to the bank, keep one eye over your shoulder. What does that mean? The bottom line of professional selling is going to the bank. I've discovered of our 80 or so rules, there's 25 that I want my clients to learn right away. And we get them to do that because it's really the foundation, the platform of growing and learning what these rules mean. You can't be an accountant if you don't know math. So you really can't be good at Sandler if you don't know the rules. I feel very strongly about that.
That's a great point. I'm talking with Scott Bailey. In your 23 years with Sandler, share with our listeners, what are some of the top messages that you have learned that have transformed you?
Oh, boy. There's too many. Be a product of the product. I've learned that the hard way. You cannot learn or teach Sandler if you don't go out and do it. Fake it till you make it and just pick up a piece of it. Don't try to be perfect at it. Just try it. Like our book says, you can't teach a kid to ride a bike at a seminar. Get on the bike. Be prepared that you're going to fall down. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to skin your knees. Well, last I checked, it heals quickly. Right? Get back on that bike and try it again. We like to have clients bring in their dead leads. And the place to try the Sandler techniques, especially the ones that are kind of on the edge, like negative reverse selling. Yeah. For those of you who know Sandler, that's our nuclear weapon. That's our nuclear option. It feels very, very unusual to do that. And I didn't understand it until I was deep in my career as a Sandler trainer. I never used it in medical sales. I was afraid of it. I just didn't do it.
Define that negative reverse selling and maybe give them an example so they know what we're talking about.
Well, the first time I ever used it was one of those days. We have a rule that we teach people that, you know, sell like you have the winning lottery ticket in your pocket, right? The best time to make a sale is when the bank account's looking good. That's when you'll try new things, right? If you're nervous and needy, that's not when you're going to try the new stuff. But when you've just closed a big deal, go try something. And I remember the first time that I used the negative reverse sale, I had a prospect call, and he called off one of the Sandler drops that we did. We used to do these mail drops. And I started engaging the guy, and he's trying to sell me on why I needed sales training. And I kept backing him up. It's like David Sandler had alighted on my shoulder and was whispering in my ear that day. And you know, he's telling me he needs sales training. And I'm kind of said, well, why do you need sales training? Couldn't your wife support you? And if your wife lost her job, would your parents be able to help you out? And through this discovery, the guy's pain was he was about to lose his job as an engineer, and his wife was about to lose her job as a nurse, and they didn't want to move back to Ohio and freeze their tickets off with their three kids.
Wow.
Now, it's a kind of information you can never get if you're trying to sell people. So if you envision a pendulum, and the way to get the pendulum is to swing to the right, is to pull it to the left. When you pull it to the left and let it go, it's going to go to the right. And transversely, if you pull it to the right, it's going to swing to the left. Never get between the prospect and where you want him or her to go. It's a magical, powerful technique, but you got to be careful with it. You can blow people up, and I did that. You try these techniques on people that aren't going to buy anyway. The people that are in your database, the dead leads, this is where you practice this stuff. Right. I can absolutely assure you, you will not get better if you don't practice.
You got to take a risk somewhere. My guest today is Scott Bailey. Scott, remind our listeners, what's the best way to reach out to you if they would like to make contact?
Got an 800 number, 800-4-Bailey. That's the number 4, B-A-I-L-E-Y, or scott.bailey@sandler.com. Love to hear from you if you're in California.
After another segment of Behind the Business, we'll go in-depth with Entrepreneur Radio and spend more time seeing a more full view of success. Success stories from local entrepreneurs. If you'd like to share your own story, call us at area code 208-429-9275 and we'll take care of the rest. This is Sandler trainer Jim Stevens. Take a look at our website, crossroads.sandler.com, and email me with your contact information, crossroads@sandler.com, if you'd like to learn more.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
The small investment that I made into Sandler Training has more than paid off tenfold on a monthly basis. I mean, I've made more in a month from the Sandler Training than I have in previous years. It's an investment in yourself.
Income would be definitely by far the most tangible results. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled. In turn, I have more than doubled my income. Pretty drastic results, I would say.
I started with Sandler about 3 months ago now. Since being here, we've doubled the revenue that we've been generating. 10 times pay for itself easily already. So I'm excited for the road ahead and highly recommend this training to anyone who's looking to generate new business sales and be successful.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to Behind the Business, where we get to meet the people and hear the story behind some local businesses. My guest today is Mike Howard. He's the owner of Great Power Learning. His company provides tutorial services and learning coaches for kids from age. You have, Mike, you have a beginning learners program. Tell us, give us the overview of the programs you have.
Yeah, our little readers program. That's 3 years old to 6 years old. And this is just a structured program that looks like a preschool program, really. It's a 2-hour program. We're focusing on phonics and building those skills for reading.
And is it a one-on-one or is it multiple kids coming in and one teacher?
Yeah, we have no more than 6 kids per teacher, so that's our classroom style is 6.
So there's enough kids to keep it interesting, but not so many that they don't learn.
That's right, yes.
Personal.
Yeah.
So learning beginning, what other programs?
Our Beyond Tutoring program, that's 1st through 8th grade. These are kids that are just may have some remedial issues, maybe have some organization issues that we need to address, cover all subjects, every grade from 1st grade all the way up to 12th. We also give these kids study skills, study strategies along with their programs. Mm,
very cool. And then you have a program for pre-college and college prep?
That's right. It's important. This is the biggest exam that these kids probably are going to face.
The ACT.
The ACT and SAT. But it's also college readiness, you know, getting those kids a little bit more ready for college.
And so what does that look like? Is it one-on-one training there or do you have multiple kids coming in?
It's been one-on-one training just because they really like that individualized program. We give them a diagnostic test too to figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are, and we can really dive into what would be the most effective areas. We do have group sessions as well where we have 8 kids come in and do a classroom style.
And you refer to your folks that do the tutoring as learning coaches?
That's correct.
Yeah, as a business coach, I know the value of providing that feedback to a business owner or manager that allows them to see things from a different perspective. And you can see the light bulbs go off as they begin to realize, oh, that's what I need to do. I'm guessing you get to experience that a lot.
It is awesome. And what we're doing is equipping these kids with strategies of their own. We want the independence when they're done with us. We don't want them to rely on us as a tutor or a coach. We want them to use their own brain. A lot of questions are being asked the whole time. It's like a rope, we call it. We just kind of pulling stuff, information out of them and get them to think on their own.
So they're really learning how to learn.
That's right.
So what makes Great Power Learning different from the other alternatives that are out there?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jim, because tutoring is just breaking, you know, getting a textbook, opening it up and helping that student getting through that test or that subject. Maybe they might be weak in that subject. Interactive coaching, where we teach these kids to learn the subject, not just
to memorize.
Memorize, yes.
Right.
It's a whole different approach, and it's harder. Do workshops all the time with our teachers to help them stay focused on. We're here giving these kids tools to think on their own, not doing the thinking for them.
So their mission, the coach's mission, is to help activate curiosity.
I call it cognitive approach, and that's kind of a buzzword, if you will, cognitive approach. And when you really dive deep into that, is just thinking about thinking. We want these kids to be thinking on their own. We still want them to have that intrinsic motivation to still do the work for themselves.
So it's really learning how to learn not only with things you're interested in that hold your interest, but also things that are just a requirement for education. Give your contact information, Mike, so somebody can reach out to you.
Yeah, our website is gradepowermeridian.com, and our phone number is 208-608-5061.
Mike Howard, Great Power Learning. We'll be back with one more segment of Mike. Now back to Entrepreneur Radio. We'll be back just after this.
You know, a lot of people believe that the person who can sell ice to an Eskimo is a salesman. Here's the problem. The day after he sells the ice to the Eskimo looks and goes, "What do I need ice for?" Sandler tells you, "Don't worry about Eskimos and don't worry about ice. Go to the pain, find out what they really need, and then help them overcome through self-discovery what it takes to be a success in their business. The person who's a great salesman, leave him alone. He's not for Sandler. The person who wants great sales, now they're the ones that need to come to Sandler.
And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. My name's Jim Stevens. I'm your host. My guest today is Christian Heiner. He owns a landscape marketing firm, and he's not a landscape architect. That's nope. Kind of interesting, Christian.
It is interesting, yeah, and it's sort of abnormal for someone in our space, you know, the AEC, architecture, engineering, construction world, to be the owner of a firm like ours, but not actually, you know, be a licensed professional in that field.
So tell us a little bit about your company name. How did you get started? Let's hear your story.
Sure. So the name of our firm is Stack Rock Group. We are a landscape architecture firm based here in Boise, Idaho. We also have an office in Salt Lake City, and we design outdoor projects all over the country. Sort of a misnomer with, you know, people hear landscape architecture and all they hear is the landscape part. And so they think that we're, you know, landscape contractors, and we're not. We, both my partner and I, Will Howard, we grew up in landscaping, the actual physical work of landscaping. We both work, you know, outside doing that stuff for a long, long time, but that is not what we do anymore.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
So now we own a landscape architecture firm. We design sustainable, high performance landscapes nationwide.
And you do a lot of work in Salt Lake City.
We do. We have a lot of projects in Salt Lake City, residential, commercial projects, schools, things of that nature. We design a lot of schools. We have a client who they develop schools, charter schools. And so we design charter schools with them all over the country. I think we did.
Wow.
It was 12 or 14 schools in Texas last year.
So in your field, Xeriscape is something that we hear a lot of. Am I saying that right?
You're actually not. No.
What is it called?
It's Xeriscape.
Xeriscape.
And it's not even spelled with a Z. It's X-E-R-I. And what that means is there's a lot of misnomers, a lot of misinformation in our industry. But, you know, people say Xeriscape and just assume that means no landscaping, just rock.
Right.
And that's not what it is at all. It's not. And that's why people think it's Xeriscape. But it's Xeriscape. And so it's designing with principles of using very little water and having drought tolerant native plants.
Do you design that way here in Boise as well as in high desert areas?
Absolutely, yeah. Because like I said, all it is using appropriate plants for the area. A lawn is not, you know, necessarily an appropriate plant for this area, because without water, it won't just naturally live.
It's gone, right.
It just won't naturally live. And so lawn is a really weird thing that, you know, everybody wants, but it's not natural.
And as long as you're feeding it, you're reducing the aqua.
Yeah. All it does, it uses tons of water and tons of fertilizer and everything else. And there's a lot of ways to reduce, and we have clients we do this for all over the country, is reduce the amount of, you know, open lawn space they have, replace it with something else, and they save a ton of money on water, a ton of money on fertilizer, a lot of money on maintenance, especially on a large campus. The maintenance dollars they spend, you know, have a landscape contractor come mow that thing can be astronomical.
Yeah.
And just by cutting that out, they can save a ton of money.
So you do mostly commercial, or do you also do residential?
We do a real big mix of both. We do a lot of commercial, you know, corporate campuses, hospital work, any kind of commercial project for sure, but we do a ton of residential
and
projects.
And you've been
well.
In business?
It'll be 5 years this
five
year.
Years. You've got, what, 12 employees?
Yep.
And you've already scaled to nationwide in your impact. That's pretty impressive. So let's hear the story. How did a sales guy end up owning a landscape architecture firm?
So years and years ago, I worked for a local company here in Boise. I was renting and selling construction equipment to contractors primarily, you know, to anyone really, but my primary market was contractors. And I met then my now business partner, Will Howard, who was working for a landscape contractor. And Will is one of those dudes, and you probably know people like this, where you meet them and you just instantly become friends.
Yeah.
Will and I met and, or, you know, did we just become best friends? Yep. And we've been, you know, really, really good friends ever since. You know, we met and over a lot of, you know, lunches together and, you know, beers after work and hanging out on the weekends, decided, talking about possibilities. What if, you know, what if we were to start a business together? He comes from a long, long line of entrepreneurial folk. I do too. And so I knew, both of us knew that our path was not to work for the man forever. So we decided over, I guess, a lot of beers and a lot of stuff that what if we were to start a landscape architecture firm? He was working to finish his degree in landscape architecture at the University of Idaho, and I was, you know, working, you know, renting and selling construction equipment. We just decided one day that, you know what, let's pull the trigger and make this thing happen.
So was he at the U of I branch here in Boise, or was he up north?
No, he kind of split time between here and there. He was up there during, you know, during the school year, and then was down here during the summer working and, you know, running landscape crews. Yeah, we just talked about the possibilities of doing that. As, you know, as me as a sales marketing guy, which is, you know, my education, my training, my, you know, work experience, and him as a landscape architect who knows landscape construction better than anyone else. And, you know, what if we were to start a firm, a landscape architecture firm, where my role is to market the firm, sell our services, you know, make sure our clients are taken care of, you know, help him manage the projects, manage the clients, and he can focus on what he does best, which is, you know, designing landscapes.
How long did it take you to get to the point as an entrepreneur where you were actually getting paid? You and Will were both getting paid for your services.
You know, so we started, it was midsummer, and we quit our jobs, you know, it was July, August, right in there. We immediately landed enough work to get us to winter. But that first winter, it was a long, cold winter, that first winter, because we didn't have necessarily enough. We had some stuff, but we started making money pretty much immediately. I mean, not the amount of money we had been making previously, but enough to get by.
Yeah.
And, it was that first spring that we really started getting busy. My side, with some real concern, marketing efforts, sales efforts. I mean, I tell people this all the time. I mean, I had no choice but to go sell like our lives depended on it, because they did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was in my pickup calling on architects, engineers, and anybody that would listen to me. I mean, short of going door to door, that's what I did. And it helped build our biz pretty quick.
So at what point were you making enough money that you knew this was sustainable and stopped worrying about should we quit or did we make a mistake?
Oh, we still have that conversation about every day. So I don't know if that ever stops.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
But I mean, and for us, it was never really about, making money. Obviously we have to make a living and we got to support ourselves and our families and everything else. But it was just really about not working for the man and just finding projects. And so for us, we have a lot of employees now, and it's all about workload. And obviously we track everything we do. We know how profitable every project is. When we go into a project, we know how long it's supposed to take. Because for us, it's different from landscape construction, where, we're not buying pipe, we're not buying trees, we're not buying any of that stuff. The only thing we can really control is how long it takes us to do individual tasks. And so we have got a pretty good, when I say a pretty good system, we have a really dialed system for controlling all those costs. And so when our workload gets to a certain point, we know it's time to bring more people in. Mm. And it took a little bit of time to figure that out for us, but I feel like we've done a pretty good job of that.
So Christian, what advice would you give an entrepreneur listening who's thinking about doing what you did, quitting their job and going to work for themselves, creating something?
Do it. Stop thinking about it. Stop messing around with it. Side hustle it maybe a little bit as long as you can. Get some of the infrastructure in place before you actually quit your job. Work at it at night. Work at it on the weekends. Make sure you have, maybe a client or two in tow that you can bring with you or start with. But just do it. I mean, so many people, we talk about this all the time, where everybody has, ideas about starting a business. Very few people actually do it. So if you really want to do it, just do it.
Yeah.
And go into it knowing that, you could tell, Jim, you can tell me if I'm crazy, but there's not a lot of businesses out there that you don't have to have clients, right?
Yeah.
So going into it knowing that you're going to have to sell yourself and sell your business, that's so important. I see so many people start businesses that don't understand that. They think that, they'll just, quit their job and start their business and work will, work projects, customers, clients will just come, but it won't. You have to get out there and you got to sell it.
Yeah. You got to get out of your comfort zone and you got to put on that sales hat.
Absolutely.
And I don't know that you ever really get to take it off, do you?
No, never. No. I mean, 24 hours a day, that's what we live and breathe. And I tell people a lot that Stack Rock Group is a marketing firm who's also really good at landscape architecture.
Right.
Because that's the culture we have. I mean, all of our people know that if we don't have projects coming in the door, we don't have jobs. And so, it's a constant thing that we all work really, really hard to build relationships with the current clients we have and always be on the lookout for others.
So you have all of your employees trained to be listening for new opportunities.
Absolutely. It's a culture thing for us, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. So give your contact information, Christian, in case there's somebody out there who'd like to reach out to you.
Sure. So our website is stackrockgroup.com. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram, on the Facebook. We're really easy to find. Our phone number here in Boise is 345-0500. From our website, if you're thinking about a landscape project, you can actually book a 1-hour free consultation right from our website. You don't have to call us. You go to the calendar, find a time that works for you, click it, and we'll show up when you tell us to.
So one of your designers will actually come out to the house business.
Absolutely.
Look around, take some notes, and then explain the process.
Absolutely. Yeah, talk to you about, what you're thinking, what you're looking for. And if you need a landscape plan, we will write up a proposal and help you through that process. A lot of the times we go meet with folks, especially homeowners, they don't need a landscape plan. We could probably sell them one, but probably about half the time when we go out on these projects or, on these initial consultations, we end up not even writing a proposal. We get them in contact with a landscape contractor
who does design remodel.
Who will do some really high level design. A lot of times people just, they need a bunch of trees planted or need some fall or some spring cleanup or whatever, and they don't need us to design that at all. So we'll just refer them to a contractor that we know and like and trust, and they go to town.
Awesome. So Christian Heiner, you've been a great guest today. He's available at 345-0500 here in the Boise, Idaho office, Stack Rock Group. We're sure glad to have you, Christian, on the show.
Jim, thank you.
If anybody out there would like to be a guest on this show, please give me a call at area code 208-429-9275, or I'm available on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back just after this. I have Les Cunningham, my friend, owner of Business Networks, in the studio with me today. And Les, you've been a big proponent of Sandler training for years. What about Sandler do you like?
The best thing about it for me, Jim, is that as an owner, owners don't have the patience to teach people so that they can send them out to Sandler and Sandler trains them. And if the owner has gone through Sandler, which I heartily recommend, then when the employee comes back, the owner knows whether they've gotten the correct training or not.
And some of the benefits or maybe results you've seen from your clients who you've sent to us to train.
Benefits of simple concepts like upfront contract, go for the no, so that we can begin to talk to the not only to the external client, but the internal company client, which are the employees. We begin to use that focus and status so that we know where things are and where they're not. It just works. And then you bring the client into it, and they begin to understand and understand what you're saying to them and what you're not saying to them.
What value do you see from getting everybody in the team on the same sheet of music?
I think it's critical because it directly affects your profitability or lack thereof. Last year, our average client is $3.6 million. The average net profit before taxes was 5.6%. We see when Sandler's introduced, the profitability goes up.
And welcome to the final segment of Behind the Business. We get to meet the people and hear the stories behind local businesses. My guest today is Mike Howard. He's the owner of Grade Power Learning. Really interesting business. He provides learning coaches for students from 3 years old to 18, 19, prepping for college. So my kids were homeschooled for most of their education. When they got to high school, we put them in the public school, and they thrived there too. One thing I learned, as I contrast how I was brought up compared to my kids, my wife is a reader. Every one of my kids are readers. Share what your organization does to set the course in children to become those lifelong learners.
I'm seeing that as well with my child, where I get that love of reading right at that 4 years old, five right. years old. I think that's where it starts. That's a huge indicator of school success is their grasp of oral language. And kids, if they understand our language, we don't always think of our language as the way we think, but we think of it as communicating, but it's also the way we think. And if we understand our language and our grasp of how we think, you know, it really translates into how we think better.
Coaches do to help stimulate that passion for learning in the kids that you help?
To answer that question as well, because it's really, we cannot motivate our kids to want to do work. You know, it's got to be inside them and to really ignite that passion. And so we really celebrate a lot with victories. And you also have to have that mentality when the kid is young to not be afraid to fail as well.
I had several tutors in my life growing up, and in every instance, they were able to break through my callousness or boredom and help me see something that was really interesting to me. So I'm guessing part of what you do is you learn how to read your students and connect to them on their level. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it all comes down to making it matter for them.
And how do you do that?
You know, we start off with really just finding out the interests of this student is. You know, what are they interested in? You know, what makes them tick? It's a lot of what we find in our assessment is, you know, what's their strengths? And obviously we look at what their weaknesses as well, but we can really tailor our programs into focusing on, you know, how the student learns best.
And you said assessments. Does it start with a specific assessment, or is that just a conversation?
No, it starts with a conversation, and then we, from there, we find, you know, it looks like we're going to be a good fit for that parent and student, we move right into our assessment, and the assessment really will tell us two things, how they're learning and what kind of learning style they are, and then also will give us an academic picture of what they are. So it's really a holistic approach of the student.
And is that an assessment they take online, or is it one of your coaches asking questions?
Yeah, it's one of our education director and me. We're certified to do these assessments through a third-party company. So yeah, it's a cognitive profile we're looking at, what kind of a learner they are, how they're concentrating, problem solving, what their grasp of oral language is. We also look at if they're a visual or auditory learner.
And is that something that consumer can have you do initially as a standalone to see if they want to be enrolled in a tutoring program?
Yeah, that's an option.
So give your contact information, Mike.
Yeah, it's gradepowermeridian.com, and our phone number is 208-608-5061.
They're able to help you take your child to a place where they're hungry and lifetime learners. Thanks, Mike, for being on the program.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll be back just after this. And welcome back. I'm Jim Stevens, President and CEO of Sandler Training here in Idaho. show. I invite a keynote Sandler trainer each week from around the world to discuss different components of the Sandler system. My guest today is Scott Bailey. Scott's been talking to us about how do I take out the head trash? What are my self-limiting beliefs that keep me from success? Teaser on the last bridge was about this thing we call negative reverse selling. Scott, I like to look at it as the truth serum. You know, if you tell somebody an example of negative reverse selling, if somebody says to you, well, what can you do for me? What would your product do for me? The Sandler response that would be stripping line would be to say, you know, maybe nothing. It depends on what you need. And it's instead of being that hyper pushy salesperson, it's actually falling back. So tell a little bit more about that negative reverse selling.
We used a great example. That's a positive prospect. So you can always use a little bit of negative reverse. It's also known as stripping line, which is a fishing term, just so those of you who are listening aren't confused. It's the same thing. And the example of moving away from the prospect is based upon the psychological phenomenon of the pattern interrupt. The buyer is expecting the salesperson to sell him or her, and when you try to unsell them, the buyer falls into a confused state and will sell themselves because they can't see you. Like, I like to think of, if you envision the pendulum hanging on a 3-foot wire and there's a weight hanging down there, that weight's only looking one way. It's looking up at the salesperson. If we go behind the pendulum, prospects don't have eyes in the back of their head. So as we break the pattern and move negatively, the buyer's free. As they move negatively, when they release, they go all the way positive. So it's just, it's physics. The body at rest stays at rest. The body in motion stays in motion. And I remember a great time we had a negative reversing clinic, a clinic on questioning skills. And one of my students, Barbara was her name, she was a consultant for optometrists. She did a lot of floor plan blueprints for new offices. Mm. Barbara was a poster child for unpaid consulting. She had a lot of bids and proposals on the street that weren't closing. And she took to our system because she was literally at bankruptcy's door. And we had this particular clinic on negative reverse selling. And she came back the following week and she said, I'd like to tell the class how I use negative reverse selling to get my 15-year-old daughter to do her homework. Now everybody's leaning in on that, right? You know, does your 15-year-old daughter do her homework? So 15-year-old daughter is being a typical teenager, or it's like senioritis, having the brain fall out of her head, just not achieving anything. So Barbara goes home that night, and the daughter says, Mom, I don't want to do my homework. Barbara would have normally said, you better do your homework, starts to sell her and argue. So that night, using our principles, daughter still said, Mom, I don't want to do my homework. Barbara went on the other side of the pen and said, it's okay, sweetie, there's always summer school. That was the pattern interrupt. Okay, and daughter says, but Mom, I don't want to go to summer school. It's okay, sweetie, it's only for half the summer. 6 weeks, you got 12 weeks off. But Mom, all the kids will be at beach during summer. Well, sweetie, we'll enroll you in the morning classes. You can take the bus and hook up with your friends by noon. But Mom, only geeks go to summer school. Now, where is she? She's at 9, right? She's all the way over it. Right, all the way over. And she said, well, sweetie, what do you see as a solution for not having to go to summer school? She released and said, okay, I'll do my homework. Now, that allowed the pendulum to fall freely all the way back to the to the 3 spot if you're using a clock. So 9 would be unsold, 3 would be sold, and 6 would be neutral. So she stripped line and took the daughter negative, and the daughter began to get her reasons for not wanting to go to summer school, which not doing the homework could have caused. That's what's so great about a veteran trainer, I'm sure you appreciate this too, is our clients bring these stories in from the field, and you've got as many as I do. I know you do. Yeah. When they begin to use the system, how about using an upfront contract on a job interview or on a date? And it's limitless what you could do with
it. It really is. So speaking of upfront contract, this is one of the tools that it has embedded in it, a negative reverse. It says to the buyer, right in the beginning of a conversation, would you be okay telling me no if you don't think there's a good fit? So in the upfront contract, it's the agenda step. We ask the client, so what would you like to get out of this meeting? And very often, asking that, you're putting your foot right in a trap.
Well, I mean, the textbook response is, you know, hey, thanks for inviting me in. We still have the 30 minutes we agreed to. I set my cell phone on airplane mode, so there's no distractions. If our meeting's over, what would you like to get out of this meeting, sir? And the prospect says ABC. And the salesperson says, can I ask you some questions about ABC? And then you go right through the bridge of the prospect's agenda, the salesperson's agenda. Now, here's one of the problems that you run into, and this drove me crazy because my clients would come in and say, it's not working, it's not working. What they were doing is the buyer didn't have an agenda, especially if you prospected your way in there, right? And it would happen to me as a sales trainer. I'd say, what would you like to get out of our meeting? The guy looks at me and says, well, Scott, if you're a sales trainer, you should tell me on why I should buy Sandler. That's a trap.
Yeah, okay, really.
So I've labeled it. It's called You're the Expert Trap. It's where the buyer says, well, just entertain me. What do you got, fella? What do you got? In our world, I learned this little plug-in. This is a marvelous way to plug in your 30-second commercial. Mr. Prospect, you're right. I am the expert. People buy from me because they're upset that they're not hitting their goals. They're concerned that they have a lot of sales turnover. Generally frustrated that the only piece of business sales people are bringing in is at a deep discount. Hurting margins. Are any of these things we should be talking about? Oh, yeah, all of them. So what I did is I just inserted my 30-second commercial, and now I'm going right back on track. Of all the things we teach at Sandler, the 30-second commercial can be learned, and how long would it take you to learn a 30-second commercial? Over the weekend, maybe listening to it in your car, in your own voice, it doesn't take long. Not to say it won't change, but you need to have something back, and you heard some pain indicators. You heard frustrated, upset, concerned, and you always finish the 30-second commercial with a question. So that will get you through that trap.
What we're looking for is, when we get into the appointment, something better than show and tell. So if we come into it with this technique, you have a pain-based agenda. You ask them that question, and you get crickets.
Oh, that's the silence trap. Yeah, that's a silent buyer. So now you have to, now there's this old rule that says he who speaks first loses. I don't quite agree, but I want our listeners who are learning Sandler to understand that as you begin to implement our techniques, you might sense a slight lag in how the buyer perceives you and responds to you, because when you're using our system, you're asking questions that the buyer may have never heard in their life. They're processing. So be aware. And how does it feel? A 1 second lag is going to feel like 20 minutes. They hate silence, right? So if you need to break the silence, break it with a question. Jim, I have a feeling there's a question you want to ask me. Why don't you ask out loud? I'll listen. Jim will ask me a question. Well, Scott, how long does your training take to hit? I'll say, well, Jim, of all the questions could have pulled out of thin air, what motivated you to ask me that one? I'll reverse that question. I go right back on track. So that's the silent buyer. And be aware that the buyer may be processing the question. So learn to handle silence, but when you do need to break it with a question. That will get you back on the upfront contract.
The third trap of the upfront contract is a disease salespeople get. We call it happy ears.
The happy ears is also known as false pain. You're a Sandler guy. I've heard a lot about your program. I have 10 salespeople that could really use some training. Why don't you tell me how this program works? I'm hearing that's the happy ears. Oh, there's no pain here, right? I don't need to bother with this upfront contract BS. This doesn't work. Now, this is what we got a lot with financial planners. The financial planners would get that because they were calling on people, young families in their 30s, and they were trying to project them out into being 65 years old, what their life would be like in retirement. They describe all this great stuff. Oh, we want to have a home in Idaho. And, you know, and so the planner thinks he could do that and starts to present to it. Doesn't close the contract. We basically got stuck on the process. Prospect's agenda, and we have a rule of Sandler, all prospects lie all the time. So whatever the prospect says, listen for what's beneath the surface, like a detective. So a detective wouldn't get all excited. He's going to take the time. He's not going to become emotionally involved. So we call this the early or false pain step, where you're hearing something that's to your benefit, you think, and you kind of get excited. You don't have that winning lottery ticket in your pocket, and you start trying to close that prospect when you didn't, in effect, close the contract. You didn't get permission to ask questions. You just basically got sidetracked because you heard what you wanted to hear, not what the buyer was saying.
So how do I get out of that trap?
It's not rocket science. You simply slow the prospect down. Jim, you're going a little too fast for me. You're on page 3. I'm on page 1. Is it okay if I take some notes? Check in with yourself and say, may I take some notes? That's your cue to yourself. It's like, I'm not going to grow these happy years. I've got to learn what's below the surface here. How in the world can he find out if you can help him, or even if he's he or she's a decision maker? You don't have any of that data at this early stage of the sales call, do you? You have none of that data. You only heard what you want to hear. And, you know, I fall victim to this. I'll tell you where it happens. It's when we get a referral. We get a strong referral, and you think, this is a laydown. I don't have to work very hard for this. Person's American Express card is practically falling out of their wallet, right? So I don't have to work for it. Well, that's wrong. You do still have to use the system. Now, some sales are easier than others. I acknowledge that. But you follow the system. When you follow the system, it don't get hurt. In all the years, I don't know anything else. It's kind of like you have to be aware that not all buyers come with a manual. there's things you can learn about people in general and how to handle the things and steer clear of them.
My guest today has been Scott Bailey. Scott, tell our listeners one final time how they might contact you.
My toll-free number is 800-4-BAILEY. That's 800, the number 4, B-A-I-L-E-Y, or scott.bailey@sandler.com. If you're in California, look us up.
I'm Jim Stevens, president of Sandler Training. Thank you so much for joining me on the Sandler Training Hour. We host this show to highlight the Sandler Training system in hopes that someone who has been frustrated in the past by maybe their sales numbers might find a gradual way to make improvements. We explore issues relevant to concerned owners and managers who just don't know where to turn to or ask if they need some help. And we cater our message to help people who overcome anxiety caused because they aren't being treated fairly in their role. If you've had any of these issues, give us a call at 208-429-9275. Let us know if we can help. We'll do the rest. Have a great weekend, and remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it.
What would you say to somebody who's thinking about Sandler Training? They've thought about getting involved, and they just haven't pulled the trigger. What would you tell them?
Well, I would strongly encourage it. I think what I've learned in Sandler is to ask questions. That's what really sells. And what I've learned with Sandler is stripping line is a good tactic. If you take something away, you really get it back. So I would ask the question, what are you looking for in your life to have change? What kind of changes are you looking for?
So talk a little bit about the ongoing reinforcement element. How does that help?
It's very helpful. It's coaching. It's not counseling. It's coaching because, first of all, Jim's always available. I mean, if I have a situation, I could just send Jim an email and he's available to me on a personal or professional basis. The coaching that we get allows us to put our own thoughts into perspective and use them for the long haul. It's not just a Band-Aid.